sit back, relax, unless you're driving. It's time for That's a Freebie.
Good morning and a very cold welcome today to That's a Freebie. This is episode number 72, Christmas Markets. Now, you all know my opinion on the Christmas markets. Well, actually, you don't all know my opinion on the Christmas markets. That's a Freebie Plus listeners know my opinion on the Christmas markets because that was the subject of last week's extra topic. So if you want to know my real opinion, spoiler alert, don't like them very much, on the Christmas markets, then feel free to have a listen to that. Of course, you will have to subscribe to That's a Freebie Plus. But as always, I'm going to start with a ask a freebie question. This week's question, somebody did send this in and I actually can't remember who it was. They submitted it in person and I forgot who it was who asked. So I'm really sorry about that. If you're listening, let me know again and I will endeavour to add you a credit in a future episode for this question. But the question is, what is your favourite movie sequel? Well, this is a no-brainer because the best sequel of all time has obviously got to be the sequel to The Matrix. No, I'm only joking. There are no sequels to The Matrix. I don't know what you're talking about there. No, I think my favourite sequel of all time, mostly because of how much it reminds me of my childhood, I suppose, because I was very into these movies as a child, and I remember it coming out. And a lot of people will disagree with me, but I don't care. I'm happy to put this forward and put it into the world. It is Back to the Future 2. I loved the first Back to the Future movie. I remember the second one coming out at the cinema. And I remember loving the movie. I loved the whole, you know, this is the future aspect of it. It was fantastic. And something happened whilst I was watching that movie that I was not expecting. And that thing that happened is there was a trailer for the third movie at the end of it. I had no idea there was going to be a third movie at the time. And I was absolutely astonished. So first of all, at the end, you know, it ends on a cliffhanger and I was not expecting that at all. And then they show a trailer for the third movie. Amazing. Blew my mind. I never knew things like that could happen. And so that is why Back to the Future 2 and 3, three amazing movies, perfect as a trilogy. Will always be my favourite, if I had to pick three movies, if I had to pick a movie series that is my favourite series, it would be the Back to the Future series, because I think they're absolutely wonderful. And I've just realised I don't think the children have seen them, so it's about time, I think, that they get to see the Back to the Future movies, because it's a rite of passage. If you want to submit your own Ask a Freebie question, just go to thatsafreebie.com. It makes sense when you get there. You'll know exactly what to do. But there's just a button that says Ask a Freebie. Just click that. It'll take you straight to the farm. Got two stories for you this week. One of them is in the realm of, you know, something stupid I did. I'm in IKEA the other day. We're walking around IKEA. This was on Monday. The wife had a very rare day off work whilst I was off work, and we went into IKEA. We actually went for IKEA breakfast because we enjoy breakfast. Breakfast is our favourite meal, I think, to share, I suppose. So first of all, we discovered that the IKEA restaurant was closed, which was a little bit annoying. Well, it wasn't closed. Half of it was closed off. They're renovating it. And we didn't realise, so we ended up getting our breakfast on paper plates, that the bean juice soaked through the plate and left stains on the table. When we looked around, all the tables had circular bean juice stains on them. So, yeah, it was a bit gross, but, you know, IKEA breakfast, it's a cheap breakfast, so does it really matter, really? It did, it kind of ruined it, but it's a one-off. It's not going to be like that every time, is it? Once they reopen the restaurant, it'll be fine. But this isn't the stupid thing I did in IKEA. The stupid thing I did in IKEA, and the thing I always do in IKEA, is I get halfway round and I need the toilet. Because, of course, the first thing we did when we got to IKEA was eat. Because usually we go around breakfast time, lunchtime, or tea time. Because, you know, you can't go to IKEA without going to the restaurant, can you? So I'm walking around IKEA, and all of a sudden, I needed a poo. And I tried telling my wife, look, I'm going to have to leave you for a bit and go and find the toilet, which is back at the beginning, and we're about halfway round. And she's going, what? What? And I just completely forgot where I was, and I just went, I need a poo! Straight across IKEA. Number of people looked at me, sniggered, like you do. Anyway, I just ran off and went to the toilet. So yeah, I needed a poo in IKEA, and I told everybody about it. As I mentioned just a few weeks ago, this Monday was the big day for audiology. So I went to audiology on Monday. I went and had my hearing tested again. It's dropped a little bit compared to what it was before, but it's not dropped as significantly as it has previously, which is a good thing, because obviously I don't want it to drop too much. But it did mean I still get to get my new hearing aids, because the ones that I had were wildly out of the range for hearing what I needed to hear. So, but, you know, as is with me, nothing's ever straightforward, is it? So it turned out that my right ear needed one type of hearing aid, and my left ear needed another type of hearing aid. However, it meant that essentially if I had two of one type to match them, one of them would miss out on some really low-level sounds. My left ear would miss out on some really low-level sounds. And if I went for the more powerful ones than them, my other ear would miss out on the mid-range of sounds. And there was no hearing aid that fit into my hearing loss that would suit both ears. I would have to have either just try one and see how it goes, or have a different one in each ear. Now, having a different one in each ear isn't that bad. You know, it's something that people do. But there's quite a vast difference in the size. And I was a little bit perturbed by the fact that I would have quite a large one in one ear and a small one in the other ear, and it might make me feel a little bit weird and off balance. But the overlap was only so ever so slight, so I was able to. So essentially, what we agreed is I will try the super powered one, because that will probably be too much for my right ear. So I basically now I've got two Phonak Bolero M70s. In case anybody's interested in looking them up, I don't know why it would be, but you know, if you also happen to wear hearing aids and you want to know what they're like, they are unbelievably better than my previous ones. I can hear people when they're whispering. It's really bizarre. And the beauty is these ones have actually got volume control on the hearing aid themselves. My previous ones didn't, so I had to keep opening an app all the time to change the volume. Wasn't terrible, but it was a bit of a pain. I couldn't do it discreetly, for example. Now I can just reach up to my ear and press a button and it changes. They are not made for iPhone like my previous ones were, but they are Bluetooth, which essentially achieves the same thing. The things I've noticed about them compared to my previous ones is the sound. I can hear so much better than I could hear before. I can't even begin to describe how much better it is. Even my own voice sounds different through these hearing aids. I can hear people further away. I can hear people when they're quieter. There's a few situations that I get in where I can never understand certain people when I'm talking to them. And I could over the last few days. It was amazing. I could hear everything. I've not had to keep asking people to repeat themselves. It's amazing, right? I do have a story for That's a Freebie Plus at the end on how there is a reason why that's not so great. Spoiler alert, it's about the neighbour. And then the other thing is the streaming aspect of them. So there's some downsides and some good sides. The downside is they're not made for iPhone. So it means they're not as tightly integrated with my phone as were previously. So made for iPhone hearing aids, for example, support announcing notifications. So if somebody sends me a text message, it'll read the text message just like it does on AirPods. These don't do that because they are basically a pair of Bluetooth headphones as well at the same time. But it does mean the audio quality is way better than anything I've had before. They sound exactly like my AirPods when I'm listening to audio from them. So I'm very happy with that. And the other benefit of them being Bluetooth and not made for iPhone is I can actually connect them to multiple devices. So they can remember, I can't remember how many devices it is, but they've been able to remember my iPad, my phone, and my Mac. And all I have to do is just disconnect them from one and then they'll connect to the other. Whereas with my made for iPhone ones, I had to completely unpair them from my phone to put them onto my other devices, which was just a faff because sometimes it wouldn't repair. So as much as the made for iPhone ones are more tightly integrated, I would actually say if I got to choose in the future, I would choose Bluetooth ones because they're just a little bit better when it comes to the streaming side of things. Now, the only drawback I've got is in my left ear, I keep getting a bit of a buzzing sound when certain types of sounds are heard, like more bassy type sounds. It's not the end of the world, and I could put up with it. We did notice it when we were tuning them, and we weren't too sure what was causing it. I actually think there might be like an actual fault with the hearing aid, but it's pretty minor at the moment, and I've got a follow-up appointment at the end of January, so I'll just sort it out then. Obviously, if it completely goes in the meantime, I'll have to try and get back earlier, but yeah, it was a successful audiology appointment, which is not something you often hear from me. So yeah, I'm actually really pleased with them, and stick around to That's a Freebie Plus for that extra story at the end. So as I mentioned at the top of the show, I gave you all my opinions on the Christmas markets last week, and it did leave me thinking. I mean, I'd already kind of planned this anyway, but it was the fact that the Christmas markets had come around and I was getting a bit annoyed at them that made me think of this as a subject. So I thought for Podtails this week, we will take a look at actual Christmas markets around the world. And, you know, where they come from, what they are. So let's make a start. So start by picturing this. Cozy wooden stalls filled with handmade ornaments, the smell of mulled wine wafting through the air, and the twinkle of holiday lights as you stroll through a bustling square. Welcome to the Christmas market. A holiday tradition with roots that go back centuries. Now, what are Christmas markets? So Christmas markets are open-air street markets held during the 4 weeks of Advent, traditionally in the town square. These markets originated in the German-speaking parts of Europe and are now held worldwide, offering festive treats, seasonal goods, and handmade gifts. Germany's Christmas markets were so beloved that the tradition spread far and wide from Europe to the United States and beyond. The German name for these markets, now I am not going to try and butcher these German names for the markets because I, well, cannot do it. I've tried, I've practiced, I've listened to them. I can't do it. The closest I can get is Christkindlmarkt. Now, I said I wasn't going to try and butcher it, and I still did anyway. If you want to see what the German words are, feel free to look up the Wikipedia article. I will leave a link to it in the show notes, and I'll try and leave us some pictures, actually, of some Christmas markets around the world in there as well, or some links to them. So the German name for these Christmas markets is blah, 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 and it reflects the market's historical ties to Advent and Christmas celebrations. Today, some US cities have adopted the name that I just said previously to keep that German connection alive. Many markets open in late November and run until just before Christmas, while some extend into New Year's Eve. The earliest markets, often called December markets, date back to the late Middle Ages. They began as one-day fairs where people stocked up on winter supplies and seasonal foods, but they quickly transformed into social gatherings as vendors began selling gifts, crafts, and holiday treats. The first true Christmas market is thought to be the Streetzelmarkt in Dresden, Germany, dating back to 1434. Good grief, that's a very long time ago. Other early markets were adopted in Munich in 1310, Frankfurt in 1393, and Vienna in 1298. Good God, that is even earlier. By the 16th century, Reformation influences led to renaming the Christkindlmärkte markets which apparently stands for Christ Child Markets. I could see that actually looking at the word. Moving away from St. Nicholas themes to emphasise the religious aspects of Christmas. The tradition spread widely across Europe, and in some areas, each market has its own unique character. In Strasbourg, France, for example, the market has been held since 1570 and remains one of the best known in Europe. What do you find at these Christmas markets? All kinds of holiday goodies, or if it's the case of the Manchester ones, crap. But you generally find nativity scenes. So many markets feature elaborate nativity scenes, complete with handcarved figures, backdrops, and even live animals in some locations. Handcarved nutcrackers, hard to say. And again, not trying that word. These are small figures made of dried plums, often dressed as traditional characters. You get types of gingerbread and spiced breads unique to Germany and Switzerland. Hot mulled wine and egg-based warm drinks are market staples. Sounds disgusting. They are often spiced with cloves, cinnamon, and citrus. The Glühwein often includes a shot of brandy for extra warmth. And then you get some regional specialities. In Saxony, there's a rich bread with candied fruit. Apparently, that's a must try. You can also get apple wine, Frankfurters, Marzifield almond cookies. Each market showcases its local cuisine and regional crafts. So no two are exactly alike. I actually remember one year, me and my wife, I think it was the first year we met, actually, we went to the Christmas markets and we really wanted to try the, oh my God, what are those things called? I'm going to have to look it up. Give me a second. All right, that took some Googling to remember. Chestnuts are the nuts I'm looking for. I had to Google nuts that look like conkers. and I got there eventually. Yeah, me and my wife tried chestnuts for the first time on the Christmas markets in Manchester. And what we realised very shortly into getting them is we had no idea how you were meant to eat them. Do you peel the outer casing off? Do you just bite the whole thing? Anyway, needless to say, we didn't like them in the end. I feel like if I was to revisit them and, you know, actually learn how to sort them out and eat them, I'd probably be all right. But they were just too hot. They were so warm, we just couldn't do it. So let's look at some famous Christmas markets from around the world. You've got Germany. So Germany has hundreds of Christmas markets, with some of the most famous in Nuremberg, Dresden, Cologne. The Cologne Christmas market, with its iconic 45-meter-tall Christmas tree, draws over 4 million visitors annually. Berlin alone hosts more than 70 markets. Austria. Vienna has 20 Christmas markets scattered across the city, including the Vienna Christmas World, complete with an enormous ice rink. Salzburg Market near the Hohensalzburg Fortress adds an old world charm to the experience. France is known as the capital of Christmas, or Strasbourg is known as the capital of Christmas, which has been held since 1570. Other French regions include Alsace, hold beautiful markets with local specialities like spice bread and mulled Alsatian wine. The United Kingdom. Lincoln's annual market with over 300 stalls is one of the oldest in the UK. Birmingham's Christmas market, inspired by Frankfurt, is the largest German-style market outside Germany. And Manchester's market draws hundreds of thousands of visitors with theme sections like French, German, and world stalls. And of course, the Manchester ones are by far the worst ones that have ever existed, because all they do is draw people to them that complain about how busy it is. It doesn't say that in the article that I was reading. Well, the article that I wrote. But I'm adding it for flavour because that's how I feel. In the United States, German immigrants brought the Christmas market tradition to America. Chicago's market, inspired by Nuremberg's, is one of the largest in the US. Other popular markets include those in Denver, Salt Lake City, and Washington, D.C. And in Barcelona, the market held since 1786 features traditional Catalonian crafts and a cagana, which is a figurine, a quirky Christmas symbol that's unique to the region. There are more modern attractions and international expansions of the markets as well. So today, many Christmas markets go beyond traditional stalls to include attractions like a Ferris wheel, ice skating rinks, and even performances by local choirs. Some markets offer workshops where visitors can make their own ornaments, wreaths, or gingerbread. This blend of tradition and modernity helps draw millions of visitors from families to tourists each year. Cities around the world have also adopted the Christmas market tradition, adding local flavours and specialities to reflect their own cultures. In Italy, Naples is famous for its nativity scene, where artisans create intricate nativity figures. In Sibiu, Romania, the traditional Christmas market started as recently as 2007 and has already become a beloved event. A little bit of a modern twist. In recent years, pink Christmas markets have emerged, starting with Munich's Pink Christmas Market in 2005. These markets offer an inclusive and festive twist on the traditional experience, featuring LGBTQ-friendly vendors, events, and decor. Other cities like Berlin and Vancouver have followed suit, creating spaces where everyone can enjoy the holiday spirit. Today, Christmas markets continue to be a highlight of the holiday season, blending centuries-old traditions with modern touches. They offer something for everyone, from families looking for a festive day to tourists eager to experience local holiday customs. With the lights, music, food, and sense of community, Christmas markets remind us that the holiday season is about more than just shopping. It's about celebrating together. So whenever you're sipping glue wine in Vienna, browsing nativity scenes in Barcelona, or picking up gingerbread in Chicago, a visit to a Christmas market is sure to fill you with joy and magic for the season. So there you have it, Christmas markets. Now, while I don't disagree with the sentiment of Christmas markets, I do think that they have just become a commercial burden, I want to say, on communities. Because honestly, the Manchester Christmas markets it's not full of people shopping. It is full of people shopping, but they're not shopping on the markets. They're walking up to the markets and going, God, that's expensive, isn't it? And then standing in the middle of the street complaining about everything for 4 hours. and then complaining about how busy it is when they don't realise that they're the only people that have gone there just to look at the markets. Anyway, if you want more on that rant, that's a freebie plus from last week. I'm not going to go more into it because I'll just get myself angry. This week's Pick of the Week podcast is the Ungeniused podcast. Now, this one does actually hold a little bit of a special place in my heart. So Ungeniused is a podcast featuring Mike Hurley and Stephen Hackett, the co-founders of Relay FM, the podcast network. And they take topics from Wikipedia. I think they exclusively do Wikipedia topics, and they discuss them. They educate us. You might think that sounds really, really familiar, because that is essentially almost what Podtails is. Podtails does, I think, involve a little bit more research than they do on their topics sometimes. Maybe not. Maybe they do more research and I don't know. But they do always tend to refer to the Wikipedia article, although you know, might often start off with the Wikipedia article and then flow from there. But it is where I got the inspiration for that section of the show. I really enjoyed listening to it. I enjoyed the learning new stuff, and I wanted a section in the show where people get to learn new things along with me, which is why I decided to incorporate it into the show. A lot of the topics that they do on there are things that I'd like to cover in the future, but at the same time, I'm trying to cover things that have not already been done. But yeah, it's a really good podcast, and each episode is only about 10 minutes long at the most. Every now and then you might get a slightly longer one, and it's worth having a flick through the topics on there and just having a look. It is very funny at times as well, so it's worth it just for the comedy value, really. It's a lovely little podcast. Give it a listen. That is the whole show for this week, unless you're a That's a Freebie Plus subscriber. But don't forget to go to thatsafreebie.com, where you can find links to all of the show's social media. You can find a link to the Ask a Freebie form, and you can find a link to sign up to That's a Freebie Plus, where you get way more content. I will see you all next week.